Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents The Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
Welcome, 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 my peeps, my peoples. Welcome to the G-Ski Show here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank you all for hanging out with us. You didn't have to, but you did. And I really, really, really do appreciate it. We have a great, 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 great show for you today. Homie Dave, he is on vacation, a well-deserved vacation. So he's not going to be here today, but it's all good. He'll be back, you know, after they get finished having all their fun. But so you just got me. You just got me, DC, and some bacon. That's how we do what we do. So once again, I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us. Thank everybody for tuning in. But you didn't have to, but you did. So I appreciate it. Now, if you want to call into the show, super easy. Call number is 516-387-1705. Once again, that's 516-387-1705. And if you want to chime in, you got a question, or you want to say something, all you got to do is hit one on your dial pad. And now you know that you want to chime in, and I'll do my best to bring you in a timely fashion. All right. If you want to check us out on the web, all you have to do is go to www.airwavesamerica.com. Once again, that's www.airwavesamerica.com. There's a website. You can actually stream from the website, and you can get all the latest information, what's going on, if we're doing a show or not. It'll all be there on the website, so just go to the website, check it out, and that's that. Email me, you can email me at ski@airwavesamerica.com. That's GSKI@airwavesamerica.com. If you want to email Dave, same thing. All you got to do is email him at dave@airwavesamerica.com. dave@airwavesamerica.com. Super easy. I am also on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. All those good things. And you can find me those places at G-Ski. GSKIROCKS. That's where you can find me on Twitter. That's where you can find me on Instagram. Also, on Facebook, I am G-Ski Rocks, but it's spelled GEESKIROCKS. So that's where you can find me. I'm going to jump on all of the newer social media platforms. Just have my stuff together. I'm super busy all the time. Matter of fact, I just got off my machine, and I had 2 minutes to spare. Before I could get on the show. Yeah, I mean, it came down to that. You know, I get off work, and I come home, and if I don't instantly jump on my machine, and it will go into the show like it has a few times before. So that. But yeah, I'm going to be jumping on these other platforms. I want to want to jump on Trump's new platform. I think it's called Truth Social. So I'm going to be jumping on there. And, yeah, all these ones, I'm jumping on there. I'm going to start a video, too. Oh, you can also find me on TikTok. I'm G-Ski Rocks on TikTok also. So you can find me there, too. So, yeah, those are all the good spots where you can find me. And it's all good. It's all gravy. You know? That's that. Now, like I said, we have a great show for you today. There is lots and lots and lots of stuff to talk about. we can talk about the State of the Union. Oh, my goodness. If you guys watched the State of the Union, was it embarrassing and... It was embarrassing, and it was a snooze fest. President fumbled over his words multiple times. He got stuff wrong multiple times. He ended up calling Ukraine Iran. He fumbled over saying rubles. I mean, it was just, I don't want to say it, but it was an SHIT show. That's what it was. Pretty hard to watch. Pretty hard for it. You know, I torture myself and I do that because I'm kind of sort of a political junkie. I've been less over the last couple of years because of dialysis and all this other stuff. So I can't do the things that I used to do. But I'm a junkie, just like the rest of us, and I have to watch State of the Unions. It doesn't matter which president is giving the State of the Union. I have to watch the State of the Union because I'm just a junkie like that. And yeah, this one, oh, my goodness. It was just so embarrassing. I mean, the president... And I'll give props to Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi because they didn't flinch. They kept a steady face despite all of the embarrassing mistakes that Biden had made during this State of the Union. And they kept a steady, hardcore face, and they never gave each other that look like, what the hell is this dude saying? They never did that. So I give them props for that. They kept stern face. So props to Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris for keeping a stern face during the State of the Union and despite all the fumbles that Joe made. You know, they let him out the basement. And the crazy thing is, it's not crazy, we all know. He had to be practicing this thing for days. And he decided, which was a mistake for him, he decided to not use a teleprompter. He just used the speech, the written speech in front of him. He decided not to use a teleprompter. Big mistake on his behalf, because when he tries to freak down, memorize this stuff right off the bat, yeah, he messes up. He does it all the time. Anytime he tries to freestyle, he's so. And good point, Bigfoot in the chat room. That is a good point. And welcome, Bigfoot. I thank you for coming. You didn't have to, but you did, so I appreciate it. Thank you. But he said, I don't think I could have kept a straight face at Biden's State of the Union, no matter which seat I was in. And that was a fact. I mean, I couldn't keep a straight face. I was laughing, and I was like, wow, really? Did you just say that? That was most of his speech. Kudos to Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi for not flinching, you know. So that's all the kudos that I'm gonna give them, because you know they're a disaster. Kamala Harris specifically is a disaster, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, the state of did anybody notice that during the State of the Union he never ever mentioned his bill? Never mentioned it. You know why he never mentioned it? Because he knows it's a disaster. He knows that. So that's why he mentioned parts of it, which those parts are still a disaster too, but he didn't mention the bill specifically. That is because he knows that the bill is not going to make it. The bill is a disaster, and it's going to the deficit significant. It's everything is going to go up if you think about that, you know. So that's why he didn't mention it. The people that control him, the people that guide him, that take him out of the bed and give him his speeches and things like that, they knew that, and that's why they didn't put it in the speech. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, we have the coming up, and we have the primaries coming up, and they know that their people are going to be slaughtered if they try to promote this Build Back Better bill. He knows that his guys are going to be slaughtered. I think they're going to be slaughtered anyways. But that would add more to this massacre that's about to happen. I believe it's going to be a massacre. I think it will. And, you know, they're trying to do a lot of stuff to try and help them out. Just like a lot of people haven't picked it up, but, you know, how they're relaxing these COVID restrictions. You know, the CDC came out just the other day, said, "Hey, you don't have to wear masks anymore, in indoors and stuff like that." You know what they're doing? They're trying to set themselves up for the primaries and the midterm election with this stuff. So they're trying to get ahead of it, and that's why they're relaxing mandates and all this other stuff. Because that has been a point of contention for the country for a very long time. And then when you try to mandate some of this stuff, you know, the people revolt. And that's what's been happening. And they understand that. And they understand that it's going to play a vital, vital, vital point in the midterms. So what do? They relax the restrictions. Because they try to get ahead of this stuff. They know that people remember this stuff. So that's what they're doing. And hopefully the Republicans are smart enough to get ahead of that. The Republicans, hopefully. As of lately, I haven't had too much faith in our people in the Republican Party. There's a few that good with, but for the most part, yeah, these guys are failing miserably. So we'll see what happens in the primaries. We'll see what happens in the midterms. I'm hoping for good things. And of course, can't wait till the general election comes up. Most of us probably believe this too. I don't think Joe's make it. I don't think he's going to make it to the 2024 elections. I don't think he's going to make it. But the scary thing is Kamala's going to be in his place. That's the scary thing. And speaking of that, a couple of days ago, Kamala Harris was on a radio show. It was called Morning Hustle. One of the co-hosts is a guy named Headcrack. If anybody watches, not Fox News, but Fox, if you have your local Fox channel, Monday through Friday at like 7 o'clock or something like that, there's a show called Dish Nation. You know, it's celebrity news, like Lindsay. And Headcrack is one of the hosts of that show also, but he also is a co-host of a radio show called The Morning Hustle. And our VP, Kamala Harris, was on The Morning Hustle. And they were asking about Ukraine and yeah, not crackhead, but head crack. Yeah. He can be a crackhead sometimes though. You know, with some of the views, but I digress. Anyways. Yeah, so our VP was on The Morning Hustle with Head Crack, and Head Crack asked her. He said, he asked her to explain the conflict in Ukraine in layman's terms for the people who don't understand what's going on and how this can directly affect the people of the United States. This was her response. If you didn't hear it, this was her response. Now, I wish I had the audio, but I don't. I didn't have time to download it and upload to Fox Talk Radio and other stuff. I didn't have time because of everything I got going on. But anyways, you had to hear how she said it. But this is what she said. She says, so Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a small country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong. We stand for. Now, if you heard the way she said it like she was talking to somebody with special needs. You know how some people are. Like, say you meet somebody who's deaf, and you're speaking to them, and you're yelling, they can hear you. You're speaking real slow and loud. So that's how she was. She was speaking to, I'm sorry, lack of another word, she was speaking to someone who was retarded. And that may be okay, you know what I'm saying? That may be the case thinking about that audience. But once again, I digress. But yes, like, so Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong. And it goes against everything we stand for. That's how it went down. And that's crazy. Crazy. She was speaking to everybody. Like, they couldn't understand. Like, she was trying to get them to read her lips over the radio or something. But that's Kamala. You know, it boggles my mind that this lady, she was in the Senate, she was a district attorney, you know, she went to college, got the degrees and all this other stuff, but she is a bonehead. a bonehead. And most of the time when you get her in a corner and you ask her questions, she has that laugh. She has to laugh her way out of situations. And it makes her sound even more uneducated. It's crazy. But yeah, she went on a national radio show. It's a syndicated radio show. It's heard around the country. And she spoke to this situation. Everybody listening were idiots. And think about it. That's what the vice president thinks about the people. She always does that. She simplifies everything. And if she can't simplify it, she does that laugh to get out of all the situations. She did the same thing when they were asking her about why hasn't she visited the border. You know, President Biden, or the people who run President Biden, put Kamala Harris in charge of the situation at the border. She never would visit it. And, you know, the reporters ask questions. Hey, why haven't you been there? That's what she does. And, it just boggles my mind because, you know, not that I've, you know, I give her props. She is an educated woman. She was learning. She was a senator, even though it doesn't take much to be a senator. I mean, look at Joe Biden. Yeah, it doesn't take much to get into Congress. Look at AOC. So we won't say that, but she was a district attorney in California. That job, I mean, can't just anybody get that job, you know what I mean? So, I mean, there had to be something there, but, I mean, it seems like since she's been vice president, all of that went out the window. And, you know, during elections back then, when she was running for president, She seemed pretty intelligent. I mean, I'll say it again, and I'm still at the point. It's not a sexist thing or anything else like that, but I just don't think that America was ready for a female president. And I don't think they were ready for a black female president because everybody still remembers what happened with the first black president. Well, at least us conservatives do. We remember. You know, there are a lot of people on the other side They still try to say this, and even though Obama has dropped off the scene, we don't hear much about him unless he's partying it out with some big wigs. But they still try to say that Obama was one of the best presidents that we've had. And we all know that we totally disagree with that. In my opinion, I would have to say that he's at the very least in the top 20 of worst. I probably could make a case for him being in the top 10, but definitely in the top 20 of worst. Worst presidents that we've had. There was a lot of stuff that happened with Obama. And, you know, it's crazy because people in the black community constantly and consistently try to say that he did so much for the black community, and he did not. If you look at everything that has happened during the Obama administration, matter of fact, he did a lot worse for the black community. If you look at it, unemployment was at its worst for blacks during his administration. If you look at it, when he came in office, there were a little bit north of 124 black banks when Obama came into office. We left 44. Yep. It was north of 124. And when he left, 44. And a lot of people try to erase the crisis that we had when once he came into office. And the things that he tried to do to alleviate those things, which made everything worse. You know that I forgot the name of it now, but the plan where people were turning in their used cars for money and all this other stuff. Yeah, that was a disaster. That was a disaster. Everything that he did was a disaster. They didn't monitor anything. And a lot of stuff, Barack Obama, hey, Joe, you're in charge. And Joe never did anything. He let all those programs go to the wayside. There was so much money was spent so frivolously. So much money was unaccounted for during his administration. Yeah, thank you, Bigfoot. Cash for clunkers. That was a disaster. That was a disaster. Hank, thank you for hanging out with us. You didn't have to, but you did. Thank you. Yeah, thank everybody in the chat room. Thank everybody on the phones. I really do appreciate you all. You didn't have to, but you did. But yeah, everything that went on in the Obama administration was a disaster. Everything that he put Joe in charge of was a disaster. But people still try to prop him up like he was a great president, and he wasn't. He raised the deficits significantly. And Barack Obama was one of the first presidents that his whole entire 8 years he was in office never got I take it back. He got one budget passed, and that was the very last one before he left office. But for 8 years, he never had not one of his budgets passed. Not one. Not one budget. And that's because his own party couldn't get with what he was doing. And the same thing is happening now. That's why Joe Biden didn't mention his Back Better bill at the State of the Union, because he knows it's a disaster. He knows that his own party doesn't support it. That's why it never got passed. His own party didn't support it either. They were trying to get people on board. They were trying to build. They thought that they would be able to build a group of Republicans that's going to stay on his side, like they did several times in the Obama administration. You know, the party of six and all that other stuff, you know, when John was alive. You know, but they can't do that now. You know, most of the time John McCain spearheaded most of that stuff, but we don't have John McCain no more. So they don't have anybody that would do that type of stuff. And thank God that they don't have anybody that'll do that type of stuff. But, yeah, so, you know, they're trying to build up this guy, but We all know, we've seen it, we lived through it. That administration, those 8 years were a disaster. You know, our military got beat down. Our military guys, people died. Remember Extortion 17. And all those things where our SEALs were killed. They were put on a helo that it didn't even have any weapons on it. These guys were shot down and killed. Was that intentional? We'll never know because we'll never investigate it. Think about the gun running thing that we had during the Obama administration. There was so much stuff. You know, and there's lots and lots of people that will try and say, well, you know, there were never any scandals in the Obama administration. There were plenty. I just don't want to talk about them. There were plenty. And y'all just don't want to talk about them. I have thousands of pages because I keep all that stuff. Thousands of pages of that stuff. And, you know, it extremely frustrating because they did whatever they can to cover all that stuff up. But anyways, let me get out of the Obama administration. We all know we all went through it. You know, it's a little frustrating. It's a little frustrating because our people, we stood up back then, and for whatever reason, that fell to the wayside. I don't know if we got comfortable with the Trump presidency, and we kind of laid back and kind of chilled. But it's a little frustrating because we had some good things going during the Obama administration, and we were on fire, and then that stuff just kind of fell to the wayside. You know, the Tea Party, for example. The Tea Party was awesome. It was great. I've spoken at Tea Party events. It was awesome. I was on board from day one, and they were on fire. Then they just fell to the wayside. You don't hear much about them anymore. And those are the things that are extremely frustrating. You know, we don't hear a lot about that type of stuff anymore in regards to us, conservative Republicans, blah blah blah. We don't hear stuff about that. And it doesn't seem like we have any fighters. There's fighters like us. You know, we spend a lot of time preaching to the choir, talking to ourselves. We all know about all this stuff. We are still fighting. But these guys in office, it seems like they give up. You know, people that were part of the Tea Parties, and like I said, the Tea Party had a lot of momentum, and then they just kind of fell off. There was some infighting that happened. I know that for a fact because one of the co-founders of the Tea Party lived right here in Georgia, and I was very good friends with her. And yeah, she would call me up, you know, when they had something going on, and she would ask me if I would speak or, you know, do some music. And, you know, I happily went out there and did that stuff. You know, and another thing is we had a lot of warriors that aren't here anymore. You know, I don't know about everybody else. I was a huge Rush Limbaugh fan. And Rush Limbaugh used to get a lot of things happening. He used to get a lot of things happening. He used to rattle their cage constantly. And he made a difference. We don't have him anymore. A personal friend of mine Herman Cain. He was huge, and he did lots and lots of things. We don't have him anymore. Some people that were on the radio, they retired, or their station took them off and things like that. It was here and there with Michael Savage. I say I was a fan. I didn't listen to him a lot, but you know, Michael Savage, he was a good guy. He was out there. He's not on the radio no more. Mark Levin is still on the radio, but you don't hear as much from him anymore. And, you know, and Fox News is way different than it was. It's way different than it was. And I barely watch Fox News now. There's a lot of stuff that happened on Fox News. I wasn't a huge fan, but Bill O'Reilly, he had a great show. He had a great show. I used to watch that show. And of course, he had his incident, and you know, he's off television. I think he's still on radio, but I don't think that many people listen to him anymore. And then, of course, Sean Hannity is still out there. I don't know how well his show is going. I guess it's going well. It's still there. I guess it's going well, but I don't really watch that anymore. And he's changed too. Yeah, he's changed too. So yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has happened over the past couple of years that has changed the environment. You know, I don't know if a lot of people remember him, but, Alan Keyes, another friend of mine. Alan Keyes was great. Alan Keyes was brilliant. Hank Jones in the chat room, Mike Gallagher. I'm not sure if he's still around, but yeah, Mike Gallagher, another great guy. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. Well, I mean, we do know. There's a lot of stuff that has happened on our side, and we have. One thing that we have fallen victim to a lot of times is, you know, we would get the momentum, like the Tea Party. The Tea Party had momentum. And what did they do? I think they ended up somewhat successful. What they did was they constantly and consistently attacked the Tea Party, calling it racist. That's what they did. For most of they always called Rush Limbaugh racist. They always called Michael Savage racist. They always called all the white guys they used to call racist. All the black guys were always tokens. And a lot of times it had an impact. It had an impact. Yeah, Alan Keyes. You know, Alan Keyes is still around, and I've been very tempted to give him a ring, because not that I'm myself, but you know, I have his personal telephone number. I can call him anytime I want. Alan Keyes is a great guy. And if you guys remember back, you know, back when my show was in full giddy up, I had Alan Keyes on my show quite a few times. I had Herman Cain on my show quite a few times. I know I'm getting off topic, and I apologize, but I met Herman Cain prior to him being popular. If anybody remembers way, way, way back, 2006, 2007, do you remember the fair tax? Well, they were having a fair tax rally downtown Atlanta, and I went to the Fair Tax rally, you know, because I supported the Fair Tax back then. So I went to this Fair Tax rally, and this was my first encounter with Herman Cain. And he spoke, and this dude was brilliant. I'm like, who is this dude? I got to talk to him. So after he spoke and everything else like that, I went up to him, I met him, and I was like, hey, you know, can I get you on my show? And he graciously agreed. We set it all up. And we were in the early stages of my show. And at that time, I didn't do my show live. I pre-recorded my show, and I would air it every Monday, right? So I met him, and he came on my show. And back then, this is how way back it was. You know, I didn't have a system set up to receive telephone conversations. So what I did, I taped a microphone to a speakerphone, and that's how I got his audio in. And I just put it through my system and all this other stuff, and I recorded all the conversations and blah 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 blah. But that's how we did my first interview with Herman Cain. I had a microphone taped to a speakerphone, and we got down with the get down. But yeah, after that, I became a huge fan of Herman Cain. He was a smart guy. He was brilliant. And back then, Herman Cain, every once in a while, on a local station here, WSB, he would send for a guy called Neil Bortz. So Neil Bortz ended up retiring, and then Cain took over his spot. Once Herman Cain took over his spot, we used to call each other all the time. I would call him, be on his show. He would call him, be on my show. Matter of fact, I have one of my promos for my show back then. I have a promo that I used with Herman Cain's voice. Let me see if I can find it so I can play it for you guys. Yeah, he said, brilliantly, and I used that for my intro. Well, I used it as a promo for my show for a very long time. I think I have it here. Yep, here it is. Let me play this for you. This was my show back then. I don't remember what year it was, but this was one of the promos for my show back then. Check it out.
Yo, this is your boy G-Ski Rocks, host of Live and Direct with G-Ski Rocks and the Captain. You gotta check out our show, because we've always got great guests on our show, like Judge Glenda Hatchett, Dr. Alan Keyes, and this one, my homie, Herman Cain.
G-Ski Rocks, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Herman? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, I meant to ask you this the other day when I was on your show. How did you get the nickname G-Ski?
It came from an old name when I was in the rap world doing, you know, regular rap music.
Okay.
I've since then changed and doing it a different way now.
I thought it stood for you a good skier, but you probably can't even ski.
No kidding.
I said, this brother can't ski. Talking about G-Ski.
So make sure you check us out on 2020 Radio, www.20-20radio.com. This is your boy G-Ski Rocks, and I'm out.
That was it. Yeah, I miss Herman Cain. I miss him a lot. Like I said, he was a great guy. Anytime he spoke, I always went to what he was speaking, if I could. You know, I was there when he ran for president. And everything I did, that was my guy. Hey, Bring It Boys in the house. What's happening? Thank you for coming. You didn't have to, but you did. I thank you. Yeah, so it a lot has changed over the years. Yeah, Hank, you are on it. Yeah, Dr. Thomas Sowell, I'm sorry. Another fire dude. Another fire dude. I mean they are out there and they're doing their thing. And like I said, another thing, this is I apologize for reminiscing, y'all, but a lot has changed. A lot has changed, and it's very frustrating. So I'm reminiscing about the old days. And as we're reminiscing, I do want to say thank you to Sue. She's been with us all the way since our start. She actually started with Dave. And when me and Dave became acquainted with ourselves, she came right over there with me and she followed my show religiously. She promoted the show for me. She was just great. She was with us all the way. I've been doing this since 2004, 2005. You know, seriously. Now podcasts are, everybody has a podcast now. But they take it serious back then. A lot of people that I used to email asking for interviews and stuff like that, what's a podcast? I got a lot of that. So I didn't get a lot of people because of that. But, you know, as time went on and I found Blog Radio and, you know, we started doing our thing on Blog Talk, and I was very persistent. I would email a lot of people once or twice a week. I would email them and constantly asking for interviews. And, you know, finally it started breaking down. I started getting lots and lots of interviews. So I was reminiscing, and we were on fire. There were lots of groups, lots of people on Blog Talk Radio. There were shows almost every single day. It's still kind of sort of like that on Blog Talk Radio, but I mean, just not as much. You know, as far as conservatism, a lot of people fell off. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but a lot of people have fell off. And, you know, that's one of those other frustrating things that a lot of us have been dealing with, you know, and I say big ups to a lot of people that are still doing it and consistent about it. Me and Dave are trying to be consistent about it, but what's going on with us, you know, Dave does multiple things. You know, he's a male guy. He does. Now, he teaches karate, and he's a musician, so he has gigs a lot of times on Fridays. So a lot of stuff is going on. So we can't be consistent as we want to be. And but we're trying. And like I said, big ups to all those that are consistent on Blog Talk Radio right now. Hank Jones, that's in the chat room. He's consistent. He does his thing. Vito does his thing. So big ups to all those guys. And I also have to say big up to Bigfoot, too, because Bigfoot has been with us all the way, too. So big up to Bigfoot and big up to Sue. Big up to Hank Jones. Big up to Vito. These are all our people. A big up to Ann, Southern Sense, if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, Southern Sense. She has been consistent, and she's doing her thing. So big up to all of those people that are consistent. Big up to all of those people that are trying to do their thing. And, yep, I still use two turntables and a microphone. Yes, I have a huge setup. I love it. And even with that, I don't get as much time as I would like. And I'm gonna be doing music again. So I want everybody to sit back and be on standby for that. A lot of music back in the days, a lot of stuff that I'm proud of. And I'm going to get back into that world because it builds me up. So, you know, that's the thing. But enough of me reminiscing. Well, you know, I'm probably during the show going to reminisce a little bit more. You know, I like the direction that we were going in back then. I like the direction. I like what we were doing, and a lot of people fell off a lot, and there was just a lot going on. You know, back then, the reason why Dave fell off is because Dave was struggling financially. So yeah, at one time he had like three jobs, and he was just trying to make his way. And you know, he couldn't do the show like we were doing it, because I was doing a show three times a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Yeah, I was doing a show three times a week, and that got a little daunting for me. Hank Jones, peace out. Thank you for coming. And yes, he thanks Sue for the reminder. Thank you, Hank. Have a great one. Have a great week. But yeah, I mean, we were blazing back then. We were blazing. We were doing good things, and we were getting noticed. That's why I get a little frustrated. It is my fault. You know, I'm in a situation that I'm in because of me. There's no one else that I can blame for that except for me. I was carrying around too much weight. So my weight had kept my blood pressure up. And with my situation, I got none of the symptoms ever popped up. I never had headaches. I never really felt bad or nothing. It's just my blood pressure was up, and I wasn't checking my blood pressure back then. So my blood pressure would be super high, and it destroyed my kidneys. And by the time I figured it out, it was too late. And I'm in the situation that I'm in. And that's one of the downfalls of my show back then. And that's what's keeping me from being consistent. So, you know, that's what we have going on. But we're trying to get back on board. We're trying to be consistent things, because there's a lot of things that need to be done. And I think we can do it. So that's how it's going down. Let's talk a little bit. I know, like I said, I was reminiscing, and I reminisced a lot. But you can't help it sometimes. You know, when you got a good thing going on, you like to talk about it a lot. And, yeah, I just want to talk about that because I loved it back then. Now, talk about Ukraine for a moment. You know, the biggest problem, well, I mean, it's a problem in general. I mean, you know, Russia has invaded Ukraine, and innocent civilians are dying. Meanwhile, President speaks at the State of the Union, talking about these economic sanctions that they're putting on Russia, and these economic sanctions are going to cripple Russia. And at the same time, guess who's importing oil from Russia. Yep, it's us importing a lot. But that's not the point. You know, according to the Energy Information Administration, we import about 8 to 10% of our oil from Russia. That's around maybe 13, 14 million barrels a month. Not a lot. However, that is, oil and gas makes up 36% of Russia's national budget. So our 8 to 10% is not measly. So you can say that we're kind of supporting the war. 8 to 10%, which makes 36% of their national budget. That's a lot, even though our portion is not a lot, but it is a lot when you consider it's Russia. It is a lot. It makes a difference. We are funding part of that war. But yet we say we support Ukraine. I mean, how is that? You can't have it both ways. You can't. So, I mean, the president, when he said he's going to cripple them with economic sanctions, how can you say that when you're still giving them money? How can you say that? And guess what? Our gas prices are going up. Our gas prices has increased almost a dollar, well, actually more than a dollar from a year ago. According to AAA, the average price of gas is $3.72. That's up from $3.73 a year ago. So gas prices has increased almost, well, more than a dollar. More than a dollar. And it's even worse for, you know, like me. I have a car that you have to put premium in it. So that $3.72 turns into almost, well, it turns into $4, $4.05, $4.10. When you talk about premium. Yeah, because that number is for just your average unleaded. I don't know. You know, I've got a fancy schmancy car and I only could put premium in it. You know, I'm bragging, but it is, I mean, it is what it is. But we are helping. We're funding him. And the term, we all hear it, every little bit helps. So that's what you got to think about when you're thinking about that, even though our portion, 8 to 10%. But every little bit helps. So if you're going to talk about economic sanctions that's going to cripple him, then, yeah, guess what you got to do? Cut off the importing of the oil. Just be done. And why the administration is thinking about it, I don't know. That's what, I mean, that blows my mind. They're thinking about it. They're thinking about, you know, cutting it off. That should have been done day one. When you talk about economic sanctions, it should have been done day one. And if you didn't do it, you're just trying to fool the American public. And that's what this administration does. I don't know who's pulling Biden's strings. I don't know. I don't know the person who's actually running him, the person that gets him out of the basement, you know, have him put his pudding cup down and go on TV and talk and do what he does. I don't know who that person is. It's definitely not Kamala, because somebody's pulling her strings too. They have to deal with, I'm sorry, I don't mean to say it like that. Well, actually I do. They deal with two idiots, and you know, somebody's pulling their strings, but we don't know who that person is. But it's all good. It's all gravy. But you know, it's just frustrating. He's having this State of the Union. He's trying to be stern, but yet we're still importing oil from them. We're still funding this war. Every little bit helps. That's what you got to think when you're getting down with the get down. Every little bit helps. So if every little bit helps, we are funding this war. We're helping a little bit. If you are true to the fight, then cut that off. And you know it's bad. It's bad when you have Democrats going, hey, I don't think we're doing that. It's bad when you have Democrats saying that. Democrats telling their president, hey, we cut this off. This is not a good look for us. So, I don't know. Whoever's pulling the string, those people need a talking to. Because, that's not a good look for the United States of America. Not a good look. Same thing with China. You know, we try to tell China about the things that they're doing to their citizens, to their people. But yet we're still borrowing money from them. It's not a good look. Not a good look. What are we doing? But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. And it's up to us to use our power in the vote to get these people out of office. However, we have a huge task because they've fixed the game. And it seems like I don't think that they're going to try to use these tactics during the midterms, but you best believe during the general election 2024, it's going down. You best believe that. So we're going to have to be very vigilant and watching how all this stuff goes down. You know what I'm saying? All right. So what we're going to do now, it's the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got lots and lots of more conversations about some good stuff. So I want you guys to stay right there. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
No one knows how to best cope with kidney disease like someone who lives with it every day. And that's why the National Kidney Foundation created NKS Peers, our peer mentoring program for kidney patients, including people on dialysis, transplant recipients, and those in earlier stages of kidney disease. Our program also connects living kidney donors with people who are considering donation. NKF trains kidney patients and living donors to serve as mentors in the program, and then we connect them with others who are seeking support. For someone who is just diagnosed with kidney disease or someone considering donating a kidney, talking it through with someone who's been through it is invaluable. Participants use a special toll-free phone system to connect to each other, so no one has to disclose their personal phone numbers or incur any long-distance charges, and the program is completely free. It provides effective, confidential help to those who need it. To learn more or to get involved, call 855-653-7337, that's 855-NKF-PEER, or email us at nkfpeers@kidney.org.
4, 3, 2, 1,
what's crack-a-lackin', my peoples? What's crack-a-lackin', my peeps? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of You Guessed It, You Got It. And that's how we do it, live and direct with G-Ski Rocks and the Captain. What's crack-a-lackin'?
What's crack-a-lackin'? I'll tell you what's crack-a-lackin'.
G-Ski, what's the crack-a-lackin', baby?
What's crackin'?
Well, it's crackin', man, as everybody else, but everybody seems to love your style, brother.
What's crackin'?
G-Ski, you are the man. You are the man, dude. I tell you what, I love this topic. I love it. I wish I thought of it myself. I'm jealous. I got envy. I got envy right now.
What's crack-a-lackin', Dana?
My brother from another mother. How are we, sir?
What's crackin', sister?
What's crackin', G-Ski?
What's crackin'? What do you got to say, ma'am?
I just got to say, awesome show. Just totally awesome.
That's right, folks. We keeps it crackin', and we do it for love of country. So make sure that you listen to Live and Direct with G-Ski Rocks and the Captain every Monday and Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. www.20-20radio.com. Always crack-a-lackin', and it's always served with bacon and gravy, baby. Bacon and gravy.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and G-Ski Rock.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, and entertaining show. Welcome.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am one of your hosts, G-Ski Rock. I want to thank y'all for coming. I want to thank y'all for hanging out. I want to thank y'all for being here. You didn't have to, but you did. So I appreciate it. I thank you. Quick things, if you want to call into the show, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Again, at 516-387-1705. And if you have something to say or if you have a question, all you got to do is hit the one on your iPad. Let's know that you want to chime in on the show. That's super easy. If you want to email me, you can email me at gski at airwavesamerica.com. That is G-S-K-I at airwavesamerica.com. Waves being spelled W-A-V-E-S, airwavesamerica.com. If you want to email my homie Dave, who's on vacation right now, a well-deserved vacation at that, you can email at Dave at airwavesamerica.com. Once again, that's D-A-V-E at airwavesamerica.com. Super easy, super easy. Make sure that you check out the website. The website is www.airwavesamerica.com. You can check out everything that we got going on, when's the next show, and all this other stuff. Because, you know, right now we're not consistent. We got a lot going on, but we don't have a show every Friday. We try to, but we, you know, sometimes we just can't do it. We got a lot going on. So go to the website and check it out. I will tell you whether we're going to have a show or not. And I try to keep that updated as much as possible. So, yeah, you can check it all out there. And also, you can stream the show from the website. You can stream the show from the website also. So there's another way to get connected with us. And also, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on TikTok. G-Ski Rocks on all of those. It's G-S-K-I-R-O-C-K-S. Except for Facebook, where it's G-E-E-K-I-R-O-C-K-S. And there you have it. That's all the info that you need to keep in contact with the show. And like I said before, All the new platforms I'm going to be getting on, Truth Social, I'm going to be getting on there, and all these other platforms that are there. I'm on it. And if you guys noticed, I did play a promo from back in the days when we were doing our thing, and I was every time I started the show, it was always what's cracking. That's how we did. That's how we used to do it back then. And, we used to have a lot of people calling into the show, and then it was really popular. And if you guys were listening, our favorite person was on there, New Mexico, which she always does, and I want to thank her for everything that she does. She helps promote the show and everything. So thank you, Sue. I appreciate it. Yeah, there are a lot of old voices on that promo. A lot of old voices from a lot of people that used to call into the show. It was a lot of fun back then. We used to do our thing. We used to get down with the get down. And we're gonna try to keep that now that we're back on the radio and doing our doggone thing. You know what I'm saying? All right. So what else do we got to talk about? I wanted to talk about this real quick because this bothers me. When y'all get a chance, I want y'all to go to the Department of Homeland Security's website. And I want you to look up summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland. And I want you to look at how they've defined the summary of terrorist threats to U.S. homeland. I want you to go look at some of the stuff that they're saying, because if you look at it, anybody who speaks ill of COVID in general, guess what you're labeled as? Terrorist. So anybody, and this is what they say, false or misleading narratives regarding substantial election fraud and COVID-19. So anybody talking about election fraud, anybody talking about COVID-19, what they consider misinformation, And that's a very slippery slope. We have all learned that. And especially with the COVID-19 thing. You can't really define what misinformation is. But if you do, then you have to say that the administration is guilty of information. What did we get when the vaccine first came out? They said you need to get the vaccine because if you get the vaccine, you're not going to catch COVID. That narrative changed. They said, well, if you get the vaccine, you can still catch COVID, but you won't spread COVID. That narrative changed again. So, you get the vaccine, still catch it, you still spread it, but you won't die. Then it changed again. You can still catch it, you can still spread it, you can probably die, but you won't be sick as long. That one changed. I mean, it's constantly changing. Then it said, along with the vaccine, you got to get a booster. Because if you don't get the booster, then you're not protected. If you get the vaccine, guess what? We're still testing you. Why would you test me for something if I got the vaccine? That doesn't make any sense. But that's what's happening. The narrative has changed constantly and consistently, and it didn't change by us. It changed by the administration. It changed by Fauci and all these other people, CDC, everybody. Even the people that came up with the vaccines, it constantly and consistently changed. So what is the true narrative about the vaccine? So what can be considered misinformation? They get to tell you what they consider misinformation. So they, if you disagree with them, and there's another narrative that are considered a terrorist. And that's straight from the Homeland Security's website. Go there, check it out. All you got to do is look at the summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland. And you get to see who they're considering terrorists, who they're considering a terrorist threat. Anybody who speaks ill of the election fraud. Anybody who speaks ill, COVID-19. So any of those, you can be considered a terrorist. And guess what? Homeland Security is going to be watching you. And think about this. Think about this for a second. If they consider you a terrorist, then guess what? You can be thrown on the no-fly list. Is that crazy? That's crazy. For you disagreeing with COVID mandates and everything that they're saying about COVID and how you're protected and all this other stuff, you disagree with that. And you're spreading what they consider. They define it. They get to define it. You're spreading what they consider misinformation. You, my friend, are a terrorist. And they can apply all the terrorist stuff to you, according to the Homeland Security website. Isn't that crazy? That is crazy as crap. That is crazy as crap. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful now. Because I'm thrown on that list changes everything. So we have to be careful. I'm not saying that we have to step lightly. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying we have to be careful on how we do things. Yeah, we have to be careful on how we do things. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not suggesting that we tiptoe and that we tiptoe around issues. Nope, that's not what I'm suggesting. We have to be strategic in what we do. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, make sure that you get yourself a date. Check out the Homeland Security's website. Check out what they consider a terrorist threat to Homeland. And figure out whether you fit that. Most of us do. Most of us do. And you know, Dave talks about it all the time. I wouldn't be surprised if they try and shut us down. It wouldn't surprise me. So, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, we got to be careful, peeps. We got to be careful in everything that we do. Right? So make sure you go to the Homeland Security website and check that out. I recommend that you check out all the governmental websites. I constantly and consistently go to the White House. I look at executive orders, stuff like that. I go to the Senate's website. I go to Congress's website. Look at stuff that they're trying to push through and things like that. I do it as I used to. But I try to stay consistent with that to make sure that I'm abreast on. I like breasts. I'm abreast on stuff that's going on. So, yeah, there's that. You know what I mean? So, where else do I want to go? Where else do I want to go today? Oh, you know where I want to go? I don't know. I don't know if you guys check them out a lot. I do. Ben Shapiro. I watch a lot of his videos. I tune into his show as much as I can, his podcast as much as I can. And things like that. Ben Shapiro is a pretty brilliant debater. When you get a chance, search through YouTube and check out some of these debates he has had. This is like Grim Reaper of debating. He bodies these people. I mean, a lot of this stuff I hadn't thought about. But, you know, the more and more I'm watching and listening to him, I'm writing stuff down. Me, I've always been a pen and paper dude, so I just write everything down. I got probably about, as of 2022, my notebooks, I have 15 of them that I write stuff in. I randomly write stuff and carry around a notebook in my pocket everywhere that I go in case there's a random thought and I want to write that down. And I've got 15, maybe 20 notebooks. That's just this year that I randomly write stuff down. I'm a pen and paper guy, kind of guy. But anyways, yeah, I've been watching a lot of Ben Shapiro and I've been watching these debates and this guy is brilliant. Brilliant. I've been watching a lot of the debate that he's had about transgender and the debates that he's had in regards to abortion. And he is the man. I haven't seen him lose a debate yet. So I need you guys to really, really check him out. And, you know, anybody who's running for office on the Republican side, conservative side, need to check him out. Because it seems every voting cycle, Republicans get beat, especially when it comes to the abortion subject. And now, transgender thing, this LGBTQRWXYZ thing is getting momentum. That the transgender thing has become the major issue. Right now, the transgender thing has replaced abortion. And these conversations are almost identical as the abortion conversation. They're identical. How the left comes at us. And we don't know how to properly answer these people. And what ends up happening is we end up looking sympathetic to their plight. And if anybody understands how this political game works, the left is about emotions. The right, we're about facts. Emotion comes second. We are about law. Like we always say, sometimes, you know, sometimes there's laws that we don't like. It may be legal, but it doesn't make sense to us sometimes. It happens. Nobody's perfect. But that's how the game is played. And see, when the game is played in the media, you are not sympathetic. If you are not emotional, you lose. Unless you know how to play the game. Ben Shapiro knows how to play the game. This guy is brilliant. He knows how to play the game. And I think that those running for particular offices need to learn how to play the game. There's an example of that here in Georgia, the last election, and our senators lost. We had Kelly Loeffler, and we had David Perdue. Kelly Loeffler lost to Raphael Warnock, and David Perdue lost to, oh, I forgot this guy's name. Starts with an O. I forgot it. Anyways, the reason why both David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler lost is because they didn't know how to play the game. More so Kelly Loeffler than David Perdue. Kelly lost because she really didn't know how to play the game, and the people surrounding her didn't know how to play the game properly. Her team didn't know how to play the game properly, and they were the reason why she lost. And one of the things is Raphael Warnock. People don't know. If you don't live in Georgia, you don't really know. But Raphael Warnock is a pastor, and he is a pastor for Ebenezer Baptist Church. If that sounds familiar, that is the church that Martin Luther King Jr. came out of. And Raphael Warnock is the head pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church. So Raphael Warnock knows how to play the game. Did that. And there's a reason why Kelly Loeffler lost. Because her and her team. See, Kelly Loeffler was a businesswoman. A brilliant businesswoman. She's made great strides in the business community and everything that she was doing. And the governor picked her to replace Johnny Isaacson. She was good, and she did great things while she was a senator. But the problem is her team, when it was time to campaign again, her team didn't know how to play the game. I don't know where she got them folks from, but they didn't know how to play the game. They were promoting, I mean, their campaign ads, they were using audio from years ago. No, actually, it was longer than 10 years ago, because they were using audio from Reverend Wright, Obama's pastor, back when he was running for president. And they made a big huff about Reverend Wright, you know, because Reverend Wright was, "God damn America." Yeah, that was Reverend Wright. And they're using that as, in almost all of their campaign promos, that's what they were using to try to take down Raphael Warnock. They said Raphael Warnock supported Reverend Wright, and Reverend Wright was talking about goddamn America. It didn't work with the Obama administration. They used that when Obama was running for president. They thought that that was their big key to knocking Obama down. Nobody cared. And a lot of people, especially a lot of black folks, was like, "Oh yeah, he's right. Goddamn America." It didn't work back then. What makes you think it would work now? And that was so irritating. I was sitting here watching all of this unfold. Time and time again, every campaign that she had, it had Reverend Wright in there. And talking about Reverend Wright doesn't care about America. Reverend Wright saying, "Goddamn America." And this is who Raphael Warnock supports. Do you really want this guy in office? Raphael Warnock knew how to play the game. Like I said, he's a pastor at a very famous church of a very famous person. And he didn't get there by not knowing what he was doing. He played them like a fiddle. And that's how he won. I think with David Perdue, I think his name was Ocelot, or whatever his name is. It starts with an O. Anyways, I think there was a little bit of cheating with that one. But of course, we're in a position where we can't prove it. I just think that that's what went down. Because on the night of the election, David Perdue was ahead by quite a bit. Quite a bit. And there was one county that hadn't reported in yet. So they were like, "Yeah, it's too close to call. This hasn't reported in yet. So we can't call it yet." The next morning, all of a sudden, this dude is way ahead of David Perdue. Where did he come from? It was almost 100% comeback. And I can't believe that at all. So yeah, that was something that something that I observed, and that's that. But you know, like I said, the problem that we have almost every single time, they push us up in a corner with a certain issue. Most of the time we will go down in flames when it came to abortion. Now that they got this whole transgender ABCDEFG thing going on, that's not a hot topic. And we're going down in flames in that. We don't know how to address this stuff. So I think that these guys need to get training. And if you want to get some training from Ben Shapiro. I don't care how you do it. Watch his videos online. Sit down and talk with this dude. Something. get some training from this dude, because he knows how to get it done. And that's the type of training that you guys need. You know, they're dependent on campaign managers, and these campaign managers, for whatever reason, don't get it. They don't get it. You know, they're constantly, you know, the main thing is how liberal they are. And you have to understand, a lot of people have no problem being called a liberal. They'll even tell you, yeah, I am a liberal. So why do you think that's hot? They like being called liberals. Some like being called socialists. And that was another thing that Kelly Loeffler was trying to push. They like those terms, those names. That's not going to help shift somebody's ideas. Get away from that. We have to choose different tactics. We have to be very strategic. And we have to understand that they are about emotions. They're about emotions. We're about facts. And yes, Bring It Boy in the chat, he got it exactly right. And that's how they think about most people on the right. Bring It Boy says, Kelly seemed like a robot, unsympathetic. And that is true. That's how they categorize us. They make us seem like robots. They make us seem unsympathetic, especially if those people that are running have lots and lots of money, like Kelly Loeffler did, like David Perdue. These people were in the upper echelons as far as money. That's because they started their own businesses or they're running businesses, and they were very successful, very good at what they did. And there's nothing wrong with making a lot of money if you're good at what you do. But when you have one side that's about emotions, they use it to pin us in a corner. And it's, oh, they're rich. They don't care about us. They don't care about us all down here. They got the money. And, you know, they're abusing everybody else. They're not paying taxes. And maybe, blah, blah, blah. This is what they do. They deal with emotions. Emotions. If you're not sympathetic to the transgender, you're unsympathetic. You're a robot. You don't care. You don't care about their humanity. And that's the problem that we have constantly. Every voting cycle, it happens. Every voting cycle, this happens. And we have to get past that. You know, it frustrates me so much. You know, I can never run for office because I don't want to submit my family to that. And then, you know, they get all up in your personal business and all that stuff. However, I would love to be on someone's campaign team. I would love to be on somebody's campaign team. I think that I can make a difference. However, here's the problem. I don't possess a degree in something, a degree in communications, a degree in political science, a degree in blah, 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 blah. I'm just a small-time dude. You know, I graduated from high school, went to the military. There's a little bit of college there, but not a lot. And that's just me. However, I've studied a lot. I've read a lot of books. I've done a lot of research. I love doing research and all stuff like that. I think, you know, even though I don't have a degree, I think I'm a pretty smart guy. I think I could help somebody, you know, do their thing. You know, I used to stopped it now, but I used to every year I would write the GOP. I write the GOP, hey, what can I do? I want to help. What can I do? And for the most part, I would just get letters back and stuff. Thank you for contacting the GOP. We thank you for your support and blah, blah, blah. And most of the time they ask for money. Yeah, most of the time they ask for money. But, I mean, I understand that. And, you know, you gotta fund these things. So I understand that. It's all good. It's crazy. But they were never interested in allowing me to help. You know, and I lay out a lot of stuff on ways that I would like to help, on things that I would like to do, my ideas and things like that, my strategies to help out. But nothing. You know, I used to write, even if they were on the opposite side of the aisle, I used to write them. What I do. I want to help. There's lots of things. You know, I do have letters and pictures from presidents that have responded to me. Most of the ones that have responded to me, of course, were Republicans. But I did have a Democrat. Well, the president didn't respond to me. Assigned it to somebody else, and they responded to me as far as the situation is concerned. And that was way back during the Clinton era, and it was in regards to Columbine at the time. But he had somebody from the Department of Education reply to my letter to the president, and that's fine. But, I write the presidents, I write the GOP, and, you know, I don't get any responses because I don't know. I guess it's because I don't have a degree in something. So, you know, it is what it is. Oh, looky here. We have a caller on the line, and I'm going to bring that caller in. Area code 909, welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling?
Hello.
Hey.
Jeezy. This is Suzette calling from Southern California.
How are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking. And I am with you. I have written, I've gone online, and anytime you go to the GOP website online, it's just where you can donate money. And I had done it once and will never do it again. Candidates that I like, I support directly and send it to their campaign rather than to the GOP because they don't want my help in campaigning. So where is my money going to then? I mean, I don't understand.
Right.
Maybe television ads or something else or candidates that, you know, I may not really care to support. And so this way I support them directly because, the GOP is not interested in involving their constituents in helping to get candidates elected. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm bored with that. But you know what? You don't have to have a degree to be elected to anything. You know, it's not a requirement. And I think that people appreciate people who have common sense because sometimes common sense is worth a whole lot more than a degree, especially these days.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely agree with that.
Oh. So, yep, and the candidates that are on the opposite side of whatever that can't debate, I don't know, they fell apart. They used to run their own game. That would be the best way to go, is run your own campaign, run your own race. And
right.
You know, that way you can actually connect with your people rather than trying to be like everybody else. And
right.
People are tired of that. And I think that's why Donald Trump had done well, because he was something different. He wasn't the robot candidate making promises of the same old bull, you know. And so it worked because he was more natural instead of trying to be so politically correct. And it just drives me nuts when I see these debates and they know they can actually say something and they don't. It's like they're biting their tongue just because they care about what people who would normally not vote for them think about them. And when they do that, they blow it.
Yeah, I never understood that. You know that there's a whole bunch of people that are not vote for you, but yet you spend time pandering to them. You don't say, or you do say certain things because you're trying to pander. And you're going to go to flames because they're not going to vote for you anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So why do it? I mean, you're supposed to do your thing. If you're running, do your thing. And they're not doing that. And it's extremely frustrating. Yeah, I used to watch those debates all the time, even the local ones, the local debates mm-hmm. here. And I used to get so angry. You just want to throw something at the TV. Why are you saying that? That's stupid. And they go down in flames every time.
They do, because people can see right through it, you know, and it's like you're running a race to become a representative of your constituents. You're there to be a statesman. You represent certain principles, and you're there to represent what your people, most of your constituents, want, basically. And it's not so much that you're supposed to even be passing laws every day. You don't need to be passing laws every day, you know. You're better off not passing anything for a long time, because other than that, we get where we are now, where they're so far ingrained in our lives. It's ridiculous. We don't have the liberty and freedom that we used to anymore, not even close. And unfortunately, this generation will never know what that will be like.
Yeah, we talk about it every day. You know, I talk about it on my job and all that stuff. You know, this new generation, this woke generation, oh, it's mm-hmm. awful. They invade everything. Those things that, you know, I used to love, comedy stand-ups. These guys can't say anything anymore because they're always attacked by the woke community. Whether it's the LGBT blah 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 stuff,
mm-hmm.
or whether race or stuff like that. You can't say nothing. I'm like, what's the point? That's why I did appreciate Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, he's on the opposite side of the fence of us politically. But when it comes to comedy.
But he picked on both sides. In his routine, he picks on both sides, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He makes both sides funny.
Oh, yeah. Dave Chappelle is brilliant. And his audio from when he received the Mark Twain Award. It was a brilliant speech that he gave. And I believe that every comic that's getting into this stuff should stand on that. Dave Chappelle will say what he wants and he wants and how he wants, because it's comedy, and you should understand that. You know, nowadays there are so many people that comedy shows, and they get that said, whether it's about race, whether it's about the transgenders and all this other stuff, they get upset. Why would you come? Why would you come? This is a comedy show. We're telling jokes.
Why would you watch? Why would you bother?
Yeah.
Do you want to upset yourself?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
And the last comedy special that Dave Chappelle did, this was after they tried to ban him on Netflix and all the stuff he did the last one, and if you ever watch it, there are two females that you can tell that are transgender, gay, whatever you call them, you can tell them, you can tell that they were. And they never laughed. They never smiled. I think they were there just to give Dave Chappelle shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know it. It's like being miserable.
And
the man is doing his job. The comedians are doing their job by making people laugh. You know, so, and you want to cancel them for that? For doing their job?
And I, when it comes to comedy, I don't care whether you're, you know, a lot of comics talk about politics. And I don't care if you're talking about my guy. If it's funny, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
If it's funny, it's funny. I'm going to laugh. I don't even care. You know, Dave Chappelle, he just put up one this week. He funded it. And what he's doing, he's picking his favorite comics and he gives them a special. First,
oh, right on.
This one was, it's called the Legendary Series. And the first comic was this guy called Earthquake. He used to live here in Georgia. He's a funny, funny guy. And in his new routine, he gave Trump a lot of shit. But it was funny as crap. And I had to laugh. I enjoy that. I enjoy that.
The
but
man
you got
is animated. There's too much to make fun of. And he is funny.
You can make a lot of jokes about him. You can. Whether you support him or not, you can make a lot of jokes about that dude. Because he is funny. Because he's different. And that's what I learned to like about him. Because when he first ran, I was iffy. I was like, I don't know about this. And, you know, on a couple of my shows, I talked about it. I didn't take him serious at the time either.
That was my husband. He was like you.
Yeah.
I was quite the opposite. I was like, he's going to win.
I was like, I don't know. But see, the one thing that I did know is that Hillary wasn't. Because I knew that people just don't like her. And people on her side don't like her. So, you know, I didn't think
for countless reasons.
Oh yeah. And you know, and she never changed up things when she ran against Obama. She never changed things then. And when she ran up against Trump either. And that's why she lost. That's why she went down in flames. And
she
like
didn't
I said,
get any new pantsuits.
Yeah. You are correct. Yeah, no new pantsuits. And her speech didn't change. And her husband was still her husband was still running around touching booties. So, you know, that didn't help either.
Very true. Very well, just that woman.
Yeah.
That woman, there's just so many things wrong with her.
and when she ran against Obama, I didn't think that Bill Clinton wanted her to win. Because Bill Clinton said a lot of stuff about her that wasn't so nice. It made her look stupid. So I think Bill Clinton was like, I can't have you taking my spot. Because, you know, at the time, you know, Bill Clinton, they were calling him the first black president. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people used to call him the first black president. So, you know.
Right. Playing the saxophone and being from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
He
but,
was cool.
Yeah. And but you know, I think I can't be sure, but she's got something to work. Last week, she spoke at the New York Democratic Convention. I think she may be that she's like, you know what, Biden's not going to make it, so I might get it. I might get a chance to back in here. I think she's planning. So be on the lookout for that. Because, yeah, she spoke.
Yeah, I will. I will. I hope not. I'm so disconnected. I mean, people don't want her. These people are so old now. I mean, they're just,
yeah,
you know, fart and dust. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
And you just need to give it up and walk away.
Yeah, they should have learned a lesson from Sleepy Joe. Every time they bring him out, every time they bring him out to bed, he's so stupid. So they should have learned from him. Like I said earlier, I don't think he's going to make it all the way through. I don't think he's going to make it all the way through his term. But it's even scarier to think about that Kamala's going to take his place. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
I don't want to take. Yep, I'm going to hang up now. But there's a couple of links in your chat room that Bringing It Boy, that's my husband, who posted. I highly recommend that you check them both out because they're very connected and having to do with what you talked about tonight and the whole free speech and who's behind a lot of this. So Merrick Garland, DOJ, had involved us. We are now a member of that group, which is Christchurch Call, and they hired Gift, which is the internet group. So that's why you need to look at both. Check them both out.
Okay, I will.
And
thank you very much. You're a great one. All righty. And now, oh, Sue, how are you?
Hey, hi. I just wanted to say to the caller, that was one of the most delightful, wonderful calls I have heard on Blog Talk Radio in a long time. Kudos to her and to you. It was absolutely wonderful, and I just had to say that. And if you're on Twitter, please follow me, Love America 615, and I'm also on Getter at 251684, because I'd really love to get to know you better. And God bless you for calling in. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, that is Sue. She called in quite a few times. And, yeah, she's great. Her and her husband, they're awesome. And they live in California, so, you know, they're all up in it. In California. But yeah, she's great. And what I'm going to do.
Is she on social media?
Yes, she is. And she has a show. She has a show on Spreaker.
Can you DM me the information? Because I'd really like to follow and get to know her better. She's my kind of lady. As you are.
I will do that. But we only got like 10 seconds left. Sue, thank you so much for calling in, Suzette, and everybody in the chat room. I love you guys. And, I guess you're going to hear the rest of it in the chat. Well, have a great day, everybody. This is G-Ski Rocks for Dave and myself. We are out of here. Thank y'all all so much for tuning in. Thank y'all for hanging out with us. And, we'll be back next week.
Hi.
I will DM you her stuff. But yeah, she has a show on Spreaker. And
I missed her name. I didn't realize that was Suzanne on calling in, but I sure enjoyed her call.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Her and her husband are great. Yeah, and they.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they are great. He doesn't call in a lot, but she does. So.
Yeah. I've heard her a couple of times, but there was just something about her call this time, and I didn't want to interrupt it, but I just wanted her to know how great I thought the call was. You know, it was truly, it was truly good, and you did a wonderful show tonight. I just loved it. You know, G-Ski, I just wish there's some way you guys could get on and, you know, a lot more consistent. I'm getting really concerned with some of the blog talk radio hosts, you know, and they're getting on this bandwagon of, you know, not Trump, and it's just throwing me, you know.
Yeah.
Have you been hearing that?
Yes. Have I don't, you know, I guess that they're scared because of the whole January 6th thing and everything that's going on with that, which they should be, but
no,
they're running
well,
scared.
You know, the thing is with Trump, I know there's this big movement for DeSantis and stuff, but we're in a hell of a fix, you know, internationally. You know, and I think Trump is the only one who can get up there and stand up to, you know, whether Korea, China, or whoever, and they're going to do as much damage as they can until he comes. DeSantis, I love him. I do think in the future he'd be a great president, but I don't think he has the balls. And while domestically things are going down the you-know-what hole, it's all, I think, centering around a lot of this foreign policy. And I'm really afraid for the world. I can see Biden getting us into a world war. You know, that's how scary this man is. And, you know, one talk show host actually said that if Trump won again, he was going to be in the pocket of the GOP and become one of them. I mean, that blew me away. And, you know, my response, of course, was, no, if Trump wins, he's going to have them in his pocket. And if you notice the recent primaries, everybody who won their primary had been supported by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So just like he did in the beginning, he's running the conversation. And, you know, I don't like a lot of the crudeness and everything else. I think he might tone it down this time. But the fact is, he's the one who can win and he's the one who can do the job. You know, anyway, that is how I feel. You know, I got to respect the others. You know,
that's just me. I totally agree. And those who say that he's going to be in a pocket of the GOP understand him.
I tell you.
They don't understand him at all.
I was on the DM with this person, and I don't know if I can ever stomach to go back to, you know, that show again. On another blog talk show I was listening into, this person called in. And he was complaining. He said, you know, Trump never in 4 years set it up so we could sell oil to, like, Germany. And he said, now look what's happening. And, you know, the ignorance. People go on shows and say things. Trump did everything in his power to get Merkel to buy U.S. oil. He warned Merkel against shutting down her nuclear plants. And Merkel was all in with Putin, and a lot of it had to do with the Paris Accords and this stupid climate change and, you know, all the rest of it. You know, that's, you know, but this person didn't even look and research. When Trump and Melania went over to France, they were treated horrible by Macron. But the one thing about Trump is if he has a goal, he'll swallow it and he'll do anything he can to try, you know, to do the right thing. His first state dinner was for Macron and his wife in France.
Right.
You know, did you realize that? You know, after being treated as horrible as he had, and his main reason was he wanted to sway them and get them buying American, you know, oil and get people away from Putin. He saw Putin coming a mile down.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I read a lot of books, and they're on both sides. But what I found out recently was Kushner, you know, his son-in-law, he was sending him over to Europe on many clandestine trips, trying to convince them to buy our oil, to stay away from Putin, to not go 100% in climate change. There was some bad stuff coming down the pike, and they had to prepare for it. And these stupid fools, you know, wouldn't listen. So it wasn't Trump's fault that they didn't, you know, the oil wasn't sold for 4 years. But, you know, this person who, you know, had to go on this talk show and make that comment, you know, I'm just like, you know, if you're going to have a talk show and if you're going to, you know, make these comments and everything, why don't you do a little bit of research? You
exactly.
know, you have a responsibility to do research, and that's what you do, and that's what Dave does. You know, there's a lot of these shows I think I'm going to drop. I'm searching for other shows to support because I'm not going to go down that route of, you know, just because you hate Trump, you know, you're going to do what you can until, you know, 2024, and then, ooh, I'm all on board. You know, no, I just can't do that.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah, I look. I'm a research guy. I don't like to say anything where I can't say, well, you don't have to believe me. Go look it up, and I can even give you the place where you need to go look it up. And it's not, you know, if it has to do with government or politics, I'm going to send you to a official website, not some website made by some other person or something like that. I'm going to send you to the official. I want you to get the numbers from there because that's where I got them from. So,
yeah. It's just, I'm very disappointed in these people I've worked so hard in supporting and trying to get people to go to their show. And, you know, people, they don't like to hear this stuff.
Nope.
You know, and the divisiveness amongst us. You know, they really don't at this point in time like to hear it. Because they're as bad as the rhinos in the GOP when they do this stuff. They're pitting us against each other. Instead of doing like what you did tonight, giving the news, talking about, you know, the facts and what happened and, you know, what's happening and everything. Instead of doing that, that's what people want to hear. But, you know, to be pitting people against each other, it really gets me.
I understand. I'm the same way. And I don't understand it because we have a guy that can make all this stuff happen. We just need him. We just need to get him back in. You know, it was unfortunate. It was unfortunate that COVID hit when it did, gave them the advantage to cheat.
Yeah.
Now, even though, you know, it's very hard for us to prove that, there's no doubt in my mind that it happened. There's no doubt in my mind that it happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that I saw, y'all, because I think I had spoke about it on one of the shows prior to the election. Yeah. I forgot where I was going. Me and my wife was going somewhere, and there was a Trump rally going on right there. It had to be at the very least anywhere between 2,000 and 3,000 people. They're all on the highway, you know, holding up signs.
Yeah.
Had to be about 2,000 to 3,000 people. I've never, never, never seen that anywhere. And you're going to tell me that type of support just fell to the wayside when it came to voting? No, I can't believe
that. That's what Suzanne was saying. You know, people love it. And, you know, one thing that's really interesting, maybe I can make a dent on the YouTube channels. I watched some channels. I don't know if you've heard of her. One of them is called Lady C. But over in Europe, they have absolutely no idea of American politics or anything. And this woman has, I don't know, 30,000, 40,000. Maybe it's more, you know, who listen to her channel and everything. And she was going on about how Trump did it to improve his brand. That's why he ran. And then she went on, you know, Hillary Clinton was a good Secretary of State, she said, but she said that, you know, she was all, because she's from the UK, she was all into this Prince Andrew thing that came. She said, you know, I think Hillary's behind the trial, da-da-da. Well, I got on there, and I set her straight, and I said, you think Hillary Clinton is a good, you know, I didn't talk to her, but I got in the comments, is a good Secretary of State. I said, why don't you do some research? Why don't you look up Benghazi? And I named, you know, just a few things. And I said, get back to me. Well, 2 weeks later, lo and behold, she's talking about Benghazi. And she has actually sort of changed, you know, with Trump. She said, Trump is one person who is, you know, when Trump said, because that's one thing that's got people all up in arms, when she said, you know, Trump says that Putin is smart, she says he's smart. He's, you don't attack, you know, a person like this. And, you know, that's one thing that he didn't do. That's how he got on with Kim Jong-un and, you know, all of them. You work with them, but you don't, what's the word I want? You don't annihilate them. You don't push them totally away from you. You know, like Joe Biden is, because, you know, Putin's a lot like Trump. That's me. You know, he gets really pissed at, man, here we go, you know. And Trump realizes that. And, you know, she could see far enough to realize that. But now I'm hoping that maybe she's reaching some people, you know, over in Europe, and they're starting, they have no idea about the Biden election or what happened here. They haven't the slightest clue. And so I'm just hoping maybe, you know, they're getting some idea of what's happening here.
Well, that's good that you checked her, and now she's having a change of heart. I like that. See, that's why you do what you do. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And we need
very
lots of more of that.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you, and it's been fun talking to you now, and. I just love your show, and I hope a lot of people start going to it. People are really turning off the Blog Talk shows because they don't like what's being talked about now. And
hopefully
I hopefully
I can change that.
Well,
hopefully,
I hope so. Yeah, quite a few listeners.
Yeah, we're getting quite a few. What happens is a lot more people listen to it after the show. They download it and stuff like that. Yeah, we get a lot more people doing that than actually live listening. And I'm fine with that, too. Yeah, I'm fine with that, too.
Oh, yeah, just so they listen. That's the important thing, is just so they listen. That's what you got to do, is get them to listen.
And hopefully we'll build the momentum. I want to thank you so much. Thank you for promoting. Thank you for everything. And have a great weekend. All right. I will make sure. I'll make sure I tell him when I talk to him again.
Okay. All right. Big hugs. Bye.
All right. Big hugs. Have a great one.
Bye.